Hello, everyone, and welcome to Around the Interruption. I'm Matt Lodi. Today, joined by Matt Custodio, normally our producer, but he's in front of the camera instead of behind the glass. And today, joined on the phone from St. Petersburg, Florida, is Dan Masser. Dan, how's it going?
Hey, fellas. I am here in St. Petersburg, Florida, enjoying some sunshine and a few beverages. It's going well, and I'm ready to talk some football.
All right, we'll dive right into the mix here, and we'll start with the NFL playoffs, which are now into the Final Four. It will be the Patriots and the Jaguars in the AFC and the Vikings at the Eagles in the NFC, but we're going to start here at home with the Patriots and the Titans game. The Patriots thrashed the Titans the other night in a blowout. The Titans actually led in this game, which is so hard to believe, Matt, at 7-0. Why don't we just start with our general thoughts and how the Patriots looked as they move on to the AFC title game for the seventh year in a row.
Yeah, I'll admit I was a little bored at points during the first. It was one of those games that, okay, the Titans are leading. There were little rough patches here and there, but it was never really in doubt. You knew Brady was going to figure something out. I didn't see Amendola going off for 100 yards on 11 catches. But it was a game. I don't know if I'm spoiled. I just don't get up for games anymore.
Right.
I imagine the two of you are probably similar at this level.
Well, I think they say that the Patriots season really starts tomorrow. And, you know, playoff Danny showed up. He had a big game as always. Dan with Amendola making all those plays. And, you know, Tom Brady, 3 touchdowns, looked really good. But is this just the case? It's the Titans and the Titans suck?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this game was basically the Patriots getting a double bye. I mean, Tennessee didn't have a prayer in this game. One of the things that was fun is this game was kind of a middle finger to Seth Wickersham at ESPN, because if there's any turmoil going on, we didn't see it, because the Patriots just absolutely cruised through this game. So it was kind of fun after the game for everyone to send out their sarcastic tweet saying, oh, if the Patriots have so much drama going on, they only won by 21 points. I know I sent a tweet out like that.
So, you had to see that coming,
you
right?
Said the Patriots season, it begins either divisional weekend or championship game weekend. And the fact that they're playing Jacksonville to get to the this is something I also was texting with friends. I said, if you had told me before the season that to get to the Super Bowl they would have to go through Tennessee and then Jacksonville, I would have asked for what drugs you were on, because those drugs sound pretty good.
But I remember distinctly you sat here the first show that we had, Dan, and you said that Jacksonville would be a team that scared you. Do they scare you now?
Well, Jacksonville's a weird team, because obviously the first playoff game, the wild card game against Buffalo, you know, it was a 10-3 game. Obviously, their defense looked great, but their offense looked crappy. But then last, you know, on Sunday, they scored 45 points, and the offense actually looks like they know what they're doing. And Bortles, you know, didn't look like the worst quarterback in the NFL. But if I'm being honest, no, they don't scare me. I think the Patriots will win the championship game fairly easily. I mean, obviously, Jacksonville's got a pretty good defense, but I mean, they gave up 42 points to the Steelers, so why can't the Patriots score, you know, 30-plus points next Sunday? So we'll see.
I don't know. Watching that game, Ben got lucky on that. I think it was 2 fourth downs.
Yeah.
I mean, Antonio Brown, I mean, yeah, he's good, but, like, he got lucky. The only thing that does scare me is you always hear about how do you beat the Patriots. It's you get to Tom Brady. Well, Jacksonville isn't called Saxonville and name branding it or trademarking it for a reason. They went out, signed Calais. They got the corners that can shut you down and play man coverage. If one team was to scare me, we'll get to the NFC. I'm not scared of any of those teams' defenses. But Jacksonville.
The scariest, not to cut you off, the scariest part of Jacksonville is the guy who sits up in the corner office.
Tom Coughlin, right. No, you're right. I agree 100% with that.
The fact that he is a part of that team, obviously he's not coaching, but he's a executive. Just the fact that he's there, sort of that mystique. You know, he was the coach of those two Giants teams.
Right.
So that's the only thing that kind of scares me. But
so you're telling me in 9 months he can put his imprint?
Well,
on the team?
Don't forget.
He has so far.
He took Jacksonville in year 2 of their history and took them to the AFC title game against the Patriots, Bill Parcells' Patriots. Right?
The Giants miss him dearly.
Yeah, the Giants, as our other producer, Brian Palm, chimes in, that the Giants miss him. Sure, they miss him. You know, and Tom Coughlin's influence is all over that team. I mean, he he clearly, you know, knows that a fast defense is what it takes to win at the highest level in the NFL, and that's exactly what the Patriots' problem has been over the last couple of years, is they don't struggle against teams like Pittsburgh because they see them over and over again, but now they're going to see a front seven there from Jacksonville. It's going to pose a lot of problems for Tom Brady, but I sat here on our opening show a couple weeks ago, and I said there's no way that Blake Bortles scares me coming into New England to win a playoff game. So if Blake Bortles comes in and beats the New England Patriots in Foxborough, then guess what, Bill Belichick? You can go to the New York Giants and coach the Giants for all I care, because there's no reason why that the Jacksonville Jaguars should come into Foxborough and beat the Patriots. There's no reason whatsoever.
Here's another thing with Jacksonville. If this same exact team with the same exact makeup, same players, you know, strong defense, good running game, if this exact team was any other team, I might respect them more, but just the fact that they are the Jacksonville Jaguars makes me not respect them.
Just
because they've been so bad for the last 10 years, and, you know, they're a bunch of yahoos down in Jacksonville, which aren't probably not that far away from where I am right now in St. Pete, so I should probably watch what I'm saying. But the fact that they are the Jacksonville Jaguars, I just can't respect them.
Yeah, we watch. If you hear Dork break down in the background, we'll notice and send help.
I just circle back. You know, Jalen Ramsey is a shutdown corner. He's extremely talented. As you said, they went out there and they made a couple of big free agent signings. Yes, I just don't trust Doug Marrone. I don't trust Blake Bortles. I fear their running game, yeah, but the Patriots haven't been able to stop the run all year. So I just don't see how that's going to make much of a difference. Yeah, let's circle back and talk about Jacksonville's performance a little bit at 45-42 beating Pittsburgh. I mean, they were up 21-0 then that game, and they almost gave it away. I mean, that would have been a colossal choke. You had people left and right saying that they would rather play Pittsburgh, and I'm thinking to myself, why would you ever want to play Pittsburgh? Yeah, Mike Tomlin's their coach, but I just could never see why Pittsburgh would have been a better matchup for the Patriots than Jacksonville with Blake Bortles versus Roethlisberger. It made no sense to me.
The Patriots have owned Pittsburgh, you know, for the last decade plus. So maybe that was some of where people were coming from on that. But no, I would agree with you. I would rather be playing Jacksonville than Pittsburgh.
And also, the thing that really scares me, showed in that game, in the previous game, Jacksonville, I think it was week 4 or 5. When they played the Steelers, Leonard Fournette is well deserving of the fourth overall pick. I think 250 yards and 5-6 touchdowns. Like, he again dominated the rough and tumble Steel City, Steel Curtain. Obviously, not the original Steel Curtain, but
right. Still,
he put on a show again. First time a rookie's ever had 100 yards and 3 touchdowns in a game in the playoffs. Like that, he showed that in that game. He's for real. Well worth the pick.
Everyone's like, well, Pittsburgh let up 45, you know, they let up all these points, they would have been embarrassed in New England, but still, you know, something speaks to familiarity, and that's what Pittsburgh has with New England. And I know, Dan, you said that the Patriots have owned them in the last dozen years, but still, when push comes to shove, I'm taking the Jacksonville matchup 100 times out of 100. And if the Patriots lose to Jacksonville, then I think it's an absolute embarrassment to everybody at Patriot Place. And there's just
you're calling for Belichick's resignation?
I'm not calling. No, by no means am I going that far for a hot take. But I'm saying.
News breaks.
But what I'm saying is.
You should put something on the line. Where you have to...
No, last time... Listen, way
I
back...
Like shave the head.
You have to legally change your name.
Change my name to Doug Marrone?
You have to legally change your name to Matt McCurry.
No, last time I made a bet on these airwaves, I had to shave my head because Tampa Bay Rays made the playoffs. Remember that? So
good old 2008.
I'm not going to put that stuff on the line. However...
Was that a Sports Connection bet?
I believe that was Sports Connection, yeah, back in the day. But I digress, and we'll move on. We'll look at the actual. Let's make our prediction right now between the Jaguars and the Patriots. We kind of dissected it. I don't know. I don't see it being a blowout, but I don't see any way the Patriots lose this game. It's going to be 50 degrees and relatively sunny when kickoff happens at 3:05 as of now. But then again, Jacksonville went into Pittsburgh in 15-degree weather and beat them there, too. So I don't think the weather is much of an issue. Patriots 35, Jacksonville 28. That's my prediction, Dan.
Wow. So only by a touchdown?
Yeah, by a touchdown. But I think maybe a late score by the Jags to get back in there, you know.
Okay. I'm going to say Patriots 27, Jacksonville 17, and we're on to Minnesota for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I appreciate the two of you being optimistic when it comes to the Patriot offense. I don't know. I think back to the Giants games and the old Broncos games with you get Von Miller and Doomerville on the outside.
Yeah.
I'm thinking somewhere along the 17-14, 21-17 route. I still think the Patriots will win because as much as I tried to talk up Bortles, I still think Bortles is crap. Saw him in person back when he was in college. No. So I still think the Patriots will win, but I think defenses will keep it closer.
Blake Bortles is too worried right now about whether or not UCF should get a national title game against Alabama.
Don't get me started.
But we'll move over to the other side and talk about some exciting NFC games. We'll start with the earlier one where the Falcons, my pick to go to the Super Bowl, choked against the Eagles in Nick Foles. So the Eagles are moving on. They will host the NFC title game on Sunday night against the Vikings. But let's quickly touch upon that game where the Falcons had the ball first and goal with a minute and something to go with one of the best wide receivers in the league and a top 10 quarterback or maybe even a top 5 quarterback in Matt Ryan, and they could not get the job done. Disappointing. I don't think it's disappointing for the Patriots because I think the Falcons were the best test left if the Patriots to get there. But disappointing for Atlanta. I would disagree
that Atlanta was going to be the toughest test out of the NFC. I think it would have been the Saints, but we'll get to them in a little.
The Saints,
bit.
Okay, fair but, enough. Yeah. But I don't know. Go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead.
No, go.
The Falcons just proved to be what we already knew they were. They're a soft team that you know can't make the plays in the clutch, just like last year in the Super Bowl, and it happened again here outside in Philly against what should have been a very vulnerable Philadelphia Eagles team. You got to give credit to the Eagles, though, especially their defense, for winning that game. Because I mean, Nick Foles' numbers were decent, but they weren't really letting him throw the ball down the field. He looked scared out there. So you got to give all the credit in the world to really to the Philly D, in my opinion.
Yeah, because their run game was horrible. But I'm going to come out and say I hated Steve Sarkisian when he was at Washington. Hated him even more when he was at USC, regardless of his issues. I hated him at Alabama. Because he literally cost them the game last year against Clemson. And then here he is in Atlanta. I don't know how he keeps getting jobs when he fails at every single one he has. So he Atlanta got to the playoffs in spite of him. Play calling. Julio Jones went like 3 weeks where he didn't even see a pass. You can't have that. And then you force it to him on four plays. And I don't know. Yes, he has to catch that ball on fourth down, but that's really the best play design you have, random jump ball into double coverage.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I didn't see a ton of the Eagles, but I didn't think their defense was as good as that. Or maybe, as you said, you just go back to the Sarkisian play calling, and it was terrible. I loved his terrible play calling when he was in Alabama because I can't stand the Tide over there. But
Roll Tide, baby.
Roll Tide.
Another
national title for Nick Saban, who refuses to go back to
even though they didn't cover the spread.
Who refuses to go back to the National Football League because he know he will be an utter failure. The Vikings game, on the other hand. Yeah, the Vikings game, on the other hand, was full of excitement, including a Hail Mary-type play. I mean, it wasn't a true Hail Mary, but it was just despicable coverage by the Saints secondary that has played good all year. The Vikings, who have one of the best defenses in all of the league, coughed up a 17-point lead and should have lost the game, but a little Case Keenum miracle to Stephon Diggs won it in a very exciting finish. Mike Zimmer's first playoff win as a coordinator or a coach. He was 0-10 going into that game. So the Vikings will move on, and they become one win away from hosting the Super Bowl as the host site. If that happens, Dan, your pick for the NFC comes true. And I will be honest with you, I don't believe you know anybody on the Vikings, and yet you still pick them. So I'd like you to defend that argument right now.
Well, the fact that this show is also being taped, and no one can actually see me. I could look up some Vikings if I wanted to, but I'm not going to. Lodi, you are correct, but I do know Case Keenum is the quarterback.
Here you go.
The Vikings, but that defense,
they're good.
Scary good.
Yeah.
It's a scary good defense. Obviously, they got lucky at the end with that last play. But the Vikings have had so many plays in the course of their history where they've blown playoff games, missed field goals, blown leads.
Blair Walsh.
Where they were kind of due for some karma to kind of come back and have something good happen. So I'm happy for the Vikings fans. And I am happy as a Patriots fan, too, because like I was saying earlier, I think the Saints were the toughest test left on the NFC side. And now that the Saints are gone, as a Patriots fan, I'm not scared of either of those NFC teams.
All I got to know is all the people that are bitching and moaning about the whole Gary Anderson missed field goal in 99. Can you stop? You got your lucky play, like Dan said. Just stop.
Blair Walsh, though, too.
That's true. Yeah.
21 yards, Blair Walsh.
And then he went to the opposition.
Yeah.
That game was, I think the last 2 minutes of that game were were phenomenal. The back and forth, field goal one-way, field goal the other.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the kid. He had what looked to be a game-changing interception when they were down 17-14. And then he's played great all season, the whole rookie class for the
Saints.
Right,
oh, fantastic, yeah.
But I still can't get through Everson Griffin's post-game interviews where he just can't complete more than three words. I give him complete understanding and credit of that was just probably top two all-time greatest finishes I've ever seen.
Yeah, so that sets up the Vikings at the Eagles on Sunday for the NFC Championship game. Prediction, Dan, for that one, who the Patriots in your mind playing? I know you said the Vikings earlier. You're sticking with it.
Yeah, I'm sticking with the team that I don't know who's on the team. I'm sticking with the Vikings. They will beat the Eagles in the championship game, NFC Championship game. I think it'll be a low-scoring game, just like the Eagles win over the Falcons was.
Yep.
So I'll say Vikings 16, Eagles 13. They'll win by a field goal. Yeah, setting up Minnesota versus New England for me.
Interesting. I do agree. I think Minnesota's going to win. I think it's going to be much bigger. I not only despise Philadelphia and the whole city as a whole, but I do think
we're not trending in Philadelphia.
Oh, I stand. No, I went to school there, met plenty of people, and they know my opinions. But I think Minnesota will win probably around a 28 kind of 10 scoreline. I don't see Philly having a shot.
Yeah, I just don't see Philly having a chance. Mike Zimmer is 10 times the coach, I think, that Doug Peterson is. I think Mike Zimmer is the second best coach left in these playoffs. I'll throw out a score, I think 19-12. That's the final. It'll be a little weird game, 19-12. I don't know how we'll get there, but let's see what happens. So speaking of the Final Four, and now we've made our predictions going into that week, but the Final Four has a couple of interesting things. One, Tom Brady is the only good quarterback. Bill Belichick and Mike Zimmer might be the only two good coaches, but your quarterbacks are Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles. And your head coaches are Bill Belichick, Doug Marrone, Mike Zimmer, and Doug Peterson. Now, I have respect for Mike Zimmer as an NFL coach. The other guys, I do not. The other quarterbacks, I do not. So, if anything, if the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl against these quarterbacks, it's because the Patriots lose because they can't get by a Vikings or a Jaguars defense.
All the talk once the Final Four was set has been about how bad three of the four quarterbacks. Obviously, you've got the GOAT and Tom Brady, but then the other three are horrifyingly bad. I mean, just on paper. I mean, Blake Bortles, people consider him to be like the worst quarterback that's ever, you know, put on cleats. and then obviously Case Keenum and Nick Foles kind of came out of nowhere this year. I mean, Nick Foles came off the bench late in the season because Wentz got hurt, and then Keenum filled in once Bradford went down for the Vikings. So this has to be one of the strangest collection of four quarterbacks for a Final Four that I can ever remember. And then I hadn't even thought about this, Lodi, but you just brought it up, how the four coaches, you've got Belichick, who's obviously Hall of Famer, maybe the greatest coach of all time, and then the other three are very suspect.
Right.
So that, I hadn't even thought about the coaching angle. So, yeah, the Patriots, it's all set up for the Patriots right now. There's really not going to be any excuse if they're not hoisting the trophy in Minnesota in a couple weeks.
I'll admit, when Zimmer went and took the Minnesota job, I didn't think it was the right choice. He went one way, Gruden went the other from Cincinnati.
Right.
He's proven me wrong, and I think what he's done and his whole eye situation he's gotten, that's phenomenal that he's even able to still see and coach every week. And that's I just want to get that out of the way. Second, Doug Marrone couldn't even get an offensive coordinator job when he left Buffalo. He couldn't. This was only 2 years ago.
He left Buffalo, and I'm like, where's he going to ever get a head coaching job? Oh, Tom Coughlin's going to hire him because he's going to be the coach, right? He just wants to fire Doug Marrone, but here we are.
Yeah, so that blows my mind.
That's Gus Bradley.
He's one of the – yes, absolutely, which I loved him as a coach.
Yeah.
In terms of quarterbacks –
you love Gus Bradley as a coach?
I do. I think he should have done better, but I think the way he managed the team as a whole – I think he did well developing them. I don't think he did well on a winning side, but I don't think he did a poor job. Obviously, he didn't win.
What Doug Marrone did with Jacksonville this year is very very similar to what John Gruden did in Tampa when he took over for Dungy when Dungy was struggling at the end of that tenure, right? He came in.
That Tampa team had been in the playoffs the years before.
Well, they had. They had been. And I know how many top five picks does Jacksonville want before you can actually get there? I mean, it was inevitable. I mean, they play in the worst conference in the football in the National Football League. I mean, how can you not beat the Titans, the Colts, and the Texans, especially this year? You know, so I don't know. I mean, though the quarterbacks. You know, the Blake Bortles. The one thing that Blake Bortles does well is he does limit the turnovers. He still will roll out and not be able to complete a pass to a wide open receiver. If you want that for a fact, just ask Dan Master because he thinks he can complete passes. But I've seen him throw a football before.
Precision offense on Murphy Field, my friend.
I do got to say, though, everyone's talking about the NFC terrible quarterback.
Yeah.
I want to say Case Keenum started, I think, week four. He's top five all time in passing yards in college. Yes, it was a little bit of a system. Right. Guy slings the ball. He can complete passes. And then when you look at the other side, Nick Foles, he's tied with the quote-unquote GOAT. Yes, I do agree with it, but the Tom Brady in the greatest single-season year of touchdowns and interceptions. Yeah. So these are two scrubs that Jeff Fisher, remember that name, Peeper, Jeff Fisher had both of them and then didn't want either. So I don't know.
That's right. Those guys were teammates on the Rams, yeah.
I don't know. The quarterbacks are terrible. I want to see the NFL marketed if it's like the Jags and the Eagles. I want to see that one, but... quarterbacks aren't terrible. They're not Tom Brady. But.
Yeah. I mean, as a Patriots fan.
When you see the names, though, it jumps out at you. You're like, what the hell's going on?
As a Patriots fan, you have to root for the Eagles, though, right? Because that's a much easier matchup.
It'll never happen to
me. It's not the matchup that people – I mean, if you're a sports fan, I think the best matchup available to you is Patriots-Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Vikings will be home. Will they have a full home crowd? No, because half those tickets go to – you know, these companies and their fake fans anyways, and you still probably get a 50-50 split. Anyways, it's gonna certainly set up for something interesting when the time comes around, and we'll see. Can Case Keenum get it done? Case Keenum's a free agent at the end of the year, and the Vikings are going to have some interesting decisions to make with that. Nick Foles will be back on the bench when Wentz is back, and Jacksonville is going to look to replace Blake Bortles, right? Whether it's with Eli Manning, whether it's with Kirk Cousins.
Even if he wins the Super Bowl, he'll be like, all right, see.
He'll be like Trent Dilfer.
Yeah.
Right?
That'd be like Trent Dilfer, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Lodi, you bring up a fascinating point because of the four quarterbacks that are in the Final Four, three of the four might not even be on those teams next.
Right.
That's the only one that might be back is Brady.
It's Brady, and you know Brady will be back. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's it certainly sets up a lot of interesting details as we go forward. All right, it's now time for our final interruptions for our episode, and we'll start with Matt.
Oh boy, this is going to be tough. We'll get there. So last week, a week from last night or from tonight, college football crowned the champion Alabama, unfortunately, after a 14 playoff.
Woo!
And stop it, Dan. and everyone now that. Did Alabama deserve to be in? Did this team deserve? UCF. Stop it. Four teams. None of this 8, 12, 16, none of that. No. If your team makes it and it's a 16-team playoff, are you going to pay the hundreds of dollars it's going to take to get a ticket, the thousands of dollars on airfare and hotel to go follow them four cities? I'm not. And my team finished ninth. Would I have loved to see them get in? Sure. But that's no. I'm not paying the money. Maybe to go to a semifinal and a final? Or even just a final, I'd jump ahead. You're not paying to go see the 8. People aren't going to pay ad revenue to put market on the game around a 16 or around of 8. That's not going to happen. Just deal with the 4. If your team doesn't get in, you lost. It's fine. Deal with it. 4 it is.
4-team playoff. All right, Dan.
All right. Well, we were talking about the quarterbacks in the Final Four. That's what mine's about. Brady and the Bums. That's the nickname I've given to the last quarterback standing in this year's playoffs. You've got the GOAT in Brady and three guys who don't exactly scream championship caliber quarterback. And it seems appropriate after a season that lacked star power. Some of that is because of injuries to guys like OBJ, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, and Carson Wentz towards the end of the season. In a season that saw star after star go down, the fact Brady now only has to beat these collection of bums is too perfect. Ring number six is coming.
All right. The general desire or willingness of someone to do something. The reason or reasons one has for acting or behaving in a particular way. That is how the Webster Dictionary defines motivation. In sports today, motivation is often used as a driving force for teams to get further in their season, their playoff run, or just to compete at a higher level in general. So stop me if I'm being overdramatic when I say I have no problem whatsoever with the pregame or postgame smack talk by the NFL players. Whether it's Le'Veon Bell's tweets, or safety Mike Mitchell from the Steelers, or even the latest case, Jaguars All-Pro corner Jalen Ramsey. Teams look to use anything for motivation or bulletin board material, but just stop right now if you think it's a reason why a team is more prepared for an opponent or more likely to beat them. You're playing professional sports for the chance at the greatest accomplishment you can get to, winning the league championship. If that is not motivation enough, I am not sure you're playing the right sport. So while Bill Belichick thrives on those type of things, the Patriots, or any team for that matter, should provide the only motivation they need. Do you want to go to the Super Bowl or not? When push comes to shove, you are ready to play or you aren't. Words from another team may add fuel to the fire, but those spoken by loudmouths in a time when adrenaline is racing isn't a reason why a team moves on or not. So show up and play, because the better team is going to win. Trash talking, bulletin board giving material or not. That will do it for today's episode. I'd like to thank Matt Custodio for stepping in for Josh Arno. For Brian Palm behind the glass and Dan Master in St. Petersburg, Florida, I'm Matt Lodi. We'll see you next time.